Welcome to Sonic Stories, the show where music, human performance, and life intersect and are shared through personal stories. My name is Benny Collins, and on this show, I invite a guest to choose three songs that have shaped their life in one way or another and to share the stories behind these songs and the meaning that they hold for them. Outside of this podcast, I work in the field of sport and performance psychology, as well as for a financial technology company. One thing before getting into the announcement and this week's guest is I've been thinking a lot about community and human connection lately. Bonding with other people, getting to know them, building relationships, and growing with them too. And I think, in the spirit of this podcast and kind of the mission of sharing music, learning about how music can impact or fuel performance and sway it in different directions, sway moods and emotions in different directions, I think I'd like to encourage folks to get more communal about this and put out a challenge there to anybody that's listening, which is find an artist, an album, a song, a compilation, a ballad, anything. Find any sort of musical item and share it with somebody. An artist, album, song, share it with somebody. Share something that you've been excited about lately or something that you keep coming back to that really hits the spot. Maybe there's a song that you've really been listening to since the election and how maybe that impacted you in a way where it may be weighing you down, or maybe just the current events of multiple wars and conflicts across the world has been weighing you down or making you feel a particular way, or maybe it's something that just hits the spot when you need it to and gives you a laugh or gives you a big smile or gets you activated to go kick ass in whatever you're doing that day. So that's my challenge, is to share something out that's been working for you, because there's a good chance that music may impact somebody else in a pretty positive way too. So there's my challenge. But before we get to this week's guest, I'm sure a quick announcement, which is that I'm in an affiliated partnership with a great company called Mudwater. Mudwater is a coffee alternative that has all the pros of coffee and virtually none of the cons. It has organic ingredients to improve mental and physical performance, minimize mood swings, improve physical stamina, immunity, and overall health. It contains masala chai, cacao, a blend of four medicinal mushrooms such as lion's mane, cordyceps, chaga, and reishi, and simple spices that you probably have in your kitchen right now, like cinnamon, turmeric, and Himalayan sea salt. I personally love coffee. I've been a daily drinker of coffee for quite a while, but I did get sick of the super high peaks that I would feel and then some of those crashes in the middle of the day when I still had other things to get done professionally and just personally. And so I started drinking some mud water in the morning to kick off the day. And it felt good because it wasn't giving me something super intense and acidic right away like coffee would. And then if I also needed a bump of energy, or if I do need a bump of energy, then I will have another cup of mud water, maybe around 3 or 4 o'clock, to kind of help finish out the day. And it's much more of a smoother energy injection or buzz that you feel, as opposed to some of those sharp increases that I feel from coffee. With that being said, totally frank and honest with you guys, I still drink coffee. I still love coffee. I drink coffee every single day. What I'm saying is, I start my day with mud water. I drink that down to almost the bottom of the cup, but there's typically some sediment or a little bit left over in there. Sometimes you can just put hot water right over top of that and just kind of get a second brew in a way. But I like to personally put in some coffee on top of that, and that's my coffee intake. And I may have a tiny bit more later in the day. And by tiny, I mean honestly like 1 ounce worth, because I really don't want to have it impact my sleep. But I do want to be able to make sure that I am getting the energy that I need from that coffee or mud water blend. And it's been really good. It's been really great. And I'm really glad I made that change to my morning and just daily ritual. So outside of all that, the company itself, they donate to MAPS, which is the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, to support psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy for those suffering from depression, PTSD, addiction, and suicidal ideation. And so after doing some research on the company and on top of enjoying their product, it was really a no-brainer to team up with them. So if you'd like to give Mudwater a try, there's a link in the show notes of this episode that'll take you directly to their website where you can place an order. And now to this episode's guest. This week, I am joined by Mr. Donovan Hall. Typically, what I like to do is actually at the top of the episode with the guest is have them introduce themselves. But I was kind of in this kind of a little bit of awe and excitement, just had this energy I'm just going to use the word again, an energy buzz that I was feeling from being able to sit down and have a great conversation with this guest that I totally forgot to ask him to introduce himself so he could use his own words. And I really would prefer that. But he and I have worked together at experience camps, the youth grief camp that I volunteered at over the summer. And I would like to think he would trust me to say a couple of things about him, 100% all kind and genuine and honest, because they are all true. So, Donovan Hall. Donovan Hall, he's an educator, he's a coach, he is a public speaker, he's a content creator. But before and above all else and all those things, he's a youth advocate. He's someone who believes deeply in youth empowerment as a way to move our society forward. And one of his aims and one of his passions and visions for his work is to equip kids with tools to build a positive relationship with themselves and a positive self-identity with that as well. And so I think that sums up what he does professionally. Personally, he is someone that had me cracked up and laughing so hard. And for anybody that knows me, I personally like to be funny. I like to tell jokes. I like to be the person that can kind of command a space and kind of manipulate the room, be like a thermostat as opposed to just a thermometer. I want to be able to read the temperature of the room, but also impact it and move it in a way that's fun and interesting. Because I like stimulating spaces and stimulating interactions. But this dude had me, he had me beat. Like, I was at the whim and the mercy of his skills, like his just like his confidence, his presence, his know-how and knowledge, his sense of humor was amazing. Like I was mentioning, the way he interacted with his fellow counselors, with staff that are employed by experience camps, and obviously the youth. Like, this dude is a straight up Yoda master when it comes to working with people, and particularly young people. And so I love the opportunity to learn from him, learn alongside him, be an ally and a teammate to him, and just get to know him as another man, and particularly another black man, which was really, really good and felt amazing. And so yeah, that is why I totally dropped the ball and forgot to have him introduce himself, just because there was a deep bond there that really connected and felt amazing. And so enough rambling here. Let's get to the good stuff. Here's Donovan. Hi, Donovan.
Hello, friend.
How you doing?
Better now. Are you kidding me?
I feel great too. I feel great too. I feel very happy that you're here. I feel like I'll just take it back to when we first met. So at experience camp, like I was very much there to do the thing for the kids. FTK, I feel like, is the acronym that is used a million times over. My wife Jordan obviously is a part of the organization, but I was also like, you know what? I feel like I'm going to meet some really interesting people here and some cool people to maybe partner with in some form or fashion. And we met, and after 5 minutes, I remember, you and I talked. I went over to Jordan. I'm like, I'm getting him on my podcast, and then I just like walked away. So thank you for being
Yeah.
here.
No, man, you were such a great energy. And youth development, I think a lot of people, it's like you just go out there and you have a good time with the kids, but there's so much more that you can really offer to them, especially like when being men working with boys.
Yes.
And I got to see you show them accountability, without losing the fun, without losing like the spirit of camp. And then when we were able to do that in partnership, it was really cool to be able to see that. And that's some of the feedback that we got was like they want to be leaders now. And I just owe a huge like thank you to you for helping hold that space before we were able to all kind of jump in on it.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate you saying that, but you were such a big force in like guiding some of those older bunks, when things hit the fan,
When they
like
were acting like assholes, bro.
yeah, they were, oh, yeah, they were trending in
It's
the wrong
like,
direction.
yeah, but it's like what I told him. It's like when you don't have that structure, then, and you're a young person, like the point of young people is to explore and grow, and you're like this unrefined version of who you're going to be. And so that doesn't look pretty all the time. And you need safety, you need structure, you need
Yeah.
something that kids can kind of be themselves in without getting too much out of pocket. Because I remember talking to one of them and about something that they did, and I was like, "Why'd you do it?" And he was just like, "I don't know. I don't know why I did it." He was like, "Honestly, if I did, I would tell you. Like maybe because I thought it would be funny, but honestly, as soon as I did it, I don't know why I did it." And I'm like,
Yeah.
"Yeah, let's talk about that, right?
For
Like
sure.
instead of just disciplining and being like, you're in trouble, to be like, yo, let's talk about it. Let's think about the impact that you're having on people."
Yes. Yes, I know. Yeah, with one kid, I'll just do one quick story and then we'll get into the entire reason why we're here. one of the guys in my bunk, going to canteen, getting a bunch of snacks, leaving snacks all over the place. And obviously there's supposed to be a limitation on how many snacks each kid's get. No hoarding in the bunk, like we're gremlins. Like what the hell are we doing here? One of my guys like was snacking on the go, had a couple, and then just like left his wrapper on the ground, like right in that middle fire ring by canteen, by the big house and stuff. And I was like, this mother, like, what is he doing? He's like one of our 17-year-olds in front of all these young kids. And so they were all walking to go to some activity in the afternoon, and I picked it up. I was walking behind them. I'm like, hey, so-and-so, I'm like, is this yours? He's like, oh yeah, thanks. And I threw it in the garbage can, and the whole bunk was looking at me. And then we just walked in there, and we was like, oh, just kind of stunned for a little bit. But then like I let 5 minutes go by, and I came up behind him. I'm like, hey man, I did that, right? Like, do you know why I just like threw that away in front of everybody? It's because I expect more from you, and you should expect more from you. And you should be aware of how you're showing up in these spaces. You're one of the oldest kids here. There's 12-year-olds that are, I see 12-year-old kids watch
And
you
you're
like
in
a
the
hawk.
leadership program, not just you're the
Yes.
older kids here, you're in the leadership program.
Right.
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 So, but they showed up, man. They showed up.
Yeah.
When we showed up, they showed up,
Yeah, exactly. It was so cool to be a part of that, and I'm very excited for next summer. Very excited
Yeah,
for
me
that.
too. I can't wait.
Yeah. Speaking of, I can't wait. I've been waiting to get you on this thing to do this podcast. So let's jump in. You have
Thank you
three.
for your grace and compassion. It's been a wild couple of months.
You've had like big life events. You
It's a
live
lot.
in Tampa. I hope that doesn't out you, but you live in Tampa. You got hit by a hurricane, or maybe two hurricanes. Yeah, it was
Two.
Milton, and then who's the other one?
Helene.
Helene. Milton was nastier though, right?
Milton was the second one. Milton was
Yeah.
worse. I mean, it was just bad because like what we just had one hit, and so we were still recovering from that, and so that's what I think made it worse. It could have been worse
Yeah.
for me specifically, because it was worse for some people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just tough. It was like, and I travel for work, so like coming home, the 1 week I was home was when the hurricane hit, and so then there was no electricity or water for a week before I left for my next trip.
Awful, awful. Well, I'm glad you are safe, even though that was very hellish and very awful, but very glad you're safe. Anyways, let's get to some music. Let's talk about music. Talk about
Yeah,
stories.
I love music.
So we got three songs here. I kind of like to ask folks at the beginning, before we even dive into the individual songs, is there anything you want to give as far as like a little introduction on these three? Or yeah, I'll stop there. Go ahead.
I share a lot of my life with the world. I think my surface level is deeper than some people's surface level, and that's not like a morally high ground kind of thing. Like, I don't think I'm better than people, but I've just had a lot of experiences as a young person that allowed me to really think about myself. And I also, as like a speaker, like being someone to being able to communicate and articulate deeper thoughts and make connections has made it very easy for me to talk about a lot of stuff that people think or prefer to talk about. But there's also, a side of me that I keep kind of hidden. And that is something that I've really been trying to explore right now, because that hidden part of me is the one that really needs the nurturing. The mask that I put on for everyone is doing great. But I've tried to figure out like what takes care of that other part of me. And I think ever since I was in middle school, music has been a huge outlet for me. People talk about kids not like, when people say, like, I ask my kid how they're doing and they say fine, or they say good and that's it, and then they get mad at kids. One reason is because of emotional vocabulary. People don't have the vocabulary to describe how they're feeling, which is super important. And so as a young person, I was in middle school in like 2000, 2001. There wasn't a lot of conversations around emotions, especially being a man or being a boy. And so music really helped me process a lot of grief. It really helped me process like feelings of loneliness. It really helped me process like feelings that were kind of disconnecting me. And so music has always been a safe haven for me. And I think that I have like a really close relationship with it. But I'm also someone that doesn't push like music on people, because I think you like what you like. I mean, I just don't understand why we spend so much energy debating what is good music or who is a good artist. Because in reality, it's like whatever moves you. And I always think about like Nickelback, right? Like
Yes.
everybody used to always joke about Nickelback. Nickelback is like one of the biggest artists. I mean, they made so much money off of selling their albums. That means people out there were genuinely connecting with that music. And so even though there was this kind of narrative that Nickelback was this awful band, they obviously had an impact on people. And my job is not to tell them that that's bad or not. Music is like a huge part of who I am, and I don't ever get to talk about it. And so this is a really cool place and a cool opportunity, because I think that music is really closely connected to different time periods in my life, but also different emotional states, growth periods, losses. And the three songs that I picked today, all kind of represent tough moments that were supported through music.
That's amazing. That is so great. That is so great. And there's a lot of things that you shared that I feel like I resonate with, unlike using music kind of as a tool for processing things as a young person, feelings of like loneliness. And I think this doesn't really hit me until now, but I feel like in some ways when you're, in a somewhat emotionally open place or kind of vulnerable and you hear something that moves you even more, it kind of like amplifies those existing feelings. They become stronger. And, to your point about using the right vocabulary, just understanding the right vocabulary to apply to feelings or to apply to certain experiences. When music amplifies those feelings, it's easier to understand what they are because they're so much more salient. They're just there and you can't really hide from them. So I love how you phrase that. And I completely agree that, like, I feel like as a middle schooler listening to music or high schooler, when I was listening to music, I was feeling more.
Oh yeah, high school me. Oh my God, bro. The music I listened to, I was so sad. I was so, and for good reasons, but I remember just being like self-indulgent in it. You know, like the Postal Service had an album called Give Up.
Oh, I know that album
The
well.
District Sleeps Alone Tonight. I
Oh,
have no idea what that song is about, but
you're
there
the
was like,
district.
yeah, oh great. There's like two lines in my head that I would hear it and be like, ah. That's how I feel. That's how I feel. But I used to look back and be like, oh, I was so angsty. But again, it was like I didn't have a lot of space to process stuff, and I didn't have a lot of people to talk to about what was going on. And I didn't feel comfortable talking to a lot of people about it. And so for me, music was like a conversation between me, and I was just doing a lot of active listening and then it's singing, which I guess is talking back. But yeah, music has always played like a huge role for me.
It's like riding shotgun in the car on a long road trip and you're just like pouring your guts out. It's just riding there with you. So
For
I feel that a
sure.
lot. Yeah. The Postal Service. What a callback. Give
God,
up.
so
I'm gonna
good.
listen to that later just
It's
cause.
so good. It's so good. It's so
Wow.
good. I love that album.
Yeah. Thank you for that introduction. Let's get to these tunes. First song, I'm just gonna go in order of what you shared with me. The Huddle Formation by the Go Team. A song I have not heard of, a band I have not heard of. So, when did this song enter the orbit of Donovan?
God, it feels like it's been with me forever. Someone introduced it to me in high school. They're like an, I don't know how to describe their music. It's like indie pop, but they also sound like cheerleaders. But they also sound like a band.
Little
And they have
punky.
like, yeah, a little punky. It's like, it's just, I don't know. It's such a unique sound. I feel like when I first heard it, when I was in high school, I was partying a lot. But I was very good at kind of doing the right things. And so I didn't have a lot of discipline or accountability in my life. I had unconditional love, which is great, but I was also like very out of control in a lot of ways that I think I was just kind of crying out for help. And when I found Huddle Formation, it just was this multi-purpose tool because you hear the song and it's very infectious and it's very like high energy and it feels like you're at like a band or at a concert. And I would play it at my parties. And of course, like some of my friends would like it. And I think most of my friends just humored because it was my house. So it's like you're gonna have to hear this song at this point.
I'm in control.
But they were just like, if I was happy, amplified it. And if I was mad, it allowed me to like release that. And if I was sad, it gave me this really powerful like hopeful nostalgia sad instead of just like sad. Like
Yeah.
I would listen to it in these moments. No matter how I was feeling, it was like the song that I would go back to. And the band, the Go Team, has a lot of different types of music. I was going to pick Hold Your Terror Close, which is about learning to be yourself, and it's a really beautiful song. But I had to pick Huddle Formation because, like, if I had to pick a theme song for my life, it would be that. And if on the outside you hear it and it's just this fun, kind of energetic song, but to me, it contains so much. It contains like so much of my experience as a young person. I remember one time I was having a party at my house. And it was like small. I didn't do like big parties. I did like small friends. And it was all the people that like allowed me to be myself, really kind of hold a lacked space for me. And I put a chair in the middle of the room and stood on it. And like four of my friends danced in a circle around the chair while we sang, while I was singing the song. And it was one of my favorite moments. And we were like lost kids, man, you know. It's hard to look back at that time and not feel a little sad because we were really drunk and we were on drugs a lot and we partied a lot. But that was one of those few moments where it didn't feel like it was coming from everybody's fucked up, right? It feels like we're all in this together. And they were people that I'm still very close with to this day. Everybody who was in that circle are still some of my best friends. But it just made me feel like I remember I got emotional when I was singing it too. And then at the end, everybody hugged and the next song went on and I left. And I just remember being so grateful that my friends had let me celebrate that song, that they knew that that song was so important to me, that they would allow me to like have that moment and dance with it, even if it isn't music they like. So I ended up like really growing on the Go Team. They've been releasing albums ever since then. When I went to college, I saw them like five times in person, maybe three times. I take that back. I think like three times. And one time the lead singer Ninja, who is this like amazing lady from the UK, called me out in the audience and was like, "I see you wearing that hat and our Go Team shirt singing all the songs." And I like lost it. And it was because at that concert I brought like 10 people with me, including my brother, who came up for the concert. And like none of those people were Go Team fans, but they all went because they knew that I loved the Go Team. And so to be able to share that moment with them when she called me out, and I'd turn around and everyone be like, "That's it, bro, that's it," like was so cool. But I don't know, I just think that they bring me a lot of like energy, and I think I have to like create energy a lot with the work that I do. And so if I can find something that I feel like without me giving is giving me energy, like the Go Team, they're gonna be with me till I go. So I do have something interesting to tell you about them though.
Yes, please, please continue.
The day after I sent you the songs, I opened up Instagram and the lead singer of the Go Team was following me.
Like they didn't message you.
I sent her a message. I think I sent her a message a while ago, and then I sent another one more recently, just being like, "Thanks. Like, I just love you. And then you've been a huge part of my life and I appreciate you." And so then she followed me. But then a couple of days later, she responded to that message. So I don't know if she saw the message and then followed me, or if she just found my work and followed me, because I had already been following her. But I about lost my mind, man.
Oh my
She's like
God.
she's one of my favorite performers. Like the whole band is amazing, and they've gone through different members. So I honestly never know how many people are in the band. But Ninja is just such a dynamic and fun performer, and she's got this just like youthful energy, and he does like all these fun little jumps and kicks on stage. And she's just amazing. So that was like a
Wow.
huge moment for me. Yeah.
Oh my God, I would have exploded if like one
Oh,
of
I
my
was
favorite
losing my
artists,
mind. I was losing my mind.
the day would have been made, the week would have been made.
I
That's
know.
nuts.
I was losing my mind. I've had another experience with a favorite artist, but you'll find out
Oh
in
boy.
this podcast because it's one of the other songs. So, but yeah, the Huddle Formation is, it is like my hype song. It is my chant. It is like how I want to feel, like my best self. And in I know best self sounds like positive, but I think even those like really low moments were sometimes my best self because I was feeling what I was feeling. And I didn't have a lot of opportunities to do that. So I'll always be grateful for that song.
Yeah, that's a really good distinction because oftentimes when you're feeling like heavy or more intense feelings that aren't positive, so like anger, sadness, despair, loss, loneness, like those are the stuff you will typically as a young person don't want to look at in the eye. You want to turn around and move away from that. But if you're willing to lean into it, just kind of sit with it, accept it, that's really big. That's huge.
Yeah, I think we learn a lot from those things. Like, it's great to feel, because when I talk to kids about emotions, it's pleasant and unpleasant feeling,
Yeah.
not good or bad emotions, because like every emotion serves a purpose.
Yeah.
And if we're feeling angry all the time, there's a reason. And if we can explore that reason, we can get the support that we need, right? It feels unpleasant, but it's also our soul or our body or our mind telling us that something is not right. And so I think when we push those things down, we miss really like crucial opportunities to care for ourselves or get care for ourselves or to learn something new about ourselves. And so when I say best self, like that's those moments. I wasn't alone because I had the music, right? That first album was so good. But it just allowed me to like think and process and feel everything that I was feeling without feeling shame or feeling bad.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It reminds me in grad school learning about like your language that you use is pleasant versus unpleasant. One thing that one of my professors taught in the class, I can't remember who it was or how like what the context was of what she shared, but she said helpful versus unhelpful. So like feelings, behaviors, whatever it is that are helpful for that situation, for that context or with that conversation with that person versus an unhelpful reaction or like getting pissed and like kicking the car and then you dent your car because of whatever you lost in fantasy football or whatever it is. But yeah, I think about that and I try to use that when I'm diagnosing things that I'm like, positive or negative, just kind of going through. It's like, what's a helpful reaction to this? Or like, am I annoyed about something that was completely out of my control? Like, should I continue to be annoyed? I should try not to because it's unhelpful and it's out of my control. So like, what are we doing here? So,
Yeah, I think it's like anything that can kind of offer you perspective too, because we are limited by the perspectives we have. And so anytime something can offer us a new perspective, which is, I think, something that a lot of adults are lacking in our country, is the ability to take in new perspectives. So it keeps us limited, right? And it doesn't allow us to grow. But that's like a lot of stuff that you're shoving into a limited space, right? And so you're gonna take it out on other people, you're gonna take it out on yourself, or you're gonna do it in a healthy way. And like, even though music wasn't therapy for me, the fact that I didn't have therapy, it was something that helped me get those things out and figure out what I wanted to do with those things,
Totally. Yes. Yeah, I think about that too. It's like music is not therapy, but it is therapeutic.
Yes, it is. And the Go Team song Huddle Formation is so funny because honestly, like, I've looked up the lyrics. I don't know what they're saying for the most part. Like,
Was
if
gonna
you listen
ask.
to, I don't know what they're saying for the most part. And when I've looked it up, it's always been like, ah, I can't really know what that means. So the words weren't really, because like some, like the another song on here, it's very much the words, but this
Okay.
one was just the vibe and the music and how I felt listening to it. I recently heard a version of it that's very clean. And I was like, get this shit out of my ear, bro. Like, I can hear everything they're saying. And I was like, no, I don't like this. This is weird. I want that weird, like, filtered, I don't know what's happening song. But then hearing all my friends try to sing it, everyone singing like 18 different songs at one time, I don't know. It was cool. And like, yeah, raging as a kid was obviously bad that I did that. But also, I had a lot of fun, man. I had a lot of fun with the same people. We were really big on being safe. It was always a small community. I'm not saying if you're a kid, go out and drink, right? But it was always like, I don't know, they were my safety. And as a kid, I didn't have a lot of safety. And so my friends in that space that we created really kind of became my safety.
You need that back end support like from wherever. Like my thing was sports. Like that was like home base in a way where it's like sports are interesting because they you get a built-in friend group. Like you
Yeah,
it's
it's this
structured
community.
friends,
Oh,
like it's just what it
community is so
is.
important. And we talk a lot about self-care with kids. And something I've been pushing is like, sometimes self-care shouldn't be self-care. Sometimes self-care should be community care. You're putting this all on kids to do it by themselves, right? There's some things that, yes, they should be responsible for. But if someone is suffering, I mean, if someone's drowning, I'm not going to go and be like, take care of yourself, right? I'm going to help them,
Right.
right? And so I think community care is really important. And I, even though life was really hard for me as a young person, I had some of the best people around me. My friends and I got through some of the really hardest stuff together. And so Huddle Formation now as an adult just reminds me of that. It's this kind of like, it's this like messy, loud, fun, emotional, kind of out of control experience.
When I listen to it, and obviously when I listen to all these songs from you, from past guests, I'm just like, this is one of Donovan's songs. What is Donovan pulling from this? Why is Donovan like this? And it's in, you and I have spent like 1 week together at experience camp, so there's so much of you and part of you that I just don't know, but it's still fun to kind of like do that kind of sleuthing in a way, like figuring it out. So, but I, some of the characteristics that you talk about with the song of being like high energy, and a big word that keeps coming to mind for me is this playfulness. And you described a ninja of like doing these cool kicks and like big pumps and like these this like anthem style energy. I'm like, this shit is just
Anthem.
fun. Like I can like I can imagine 13-year-old Benny just like taking a basketball and bouncing it and sprinting as fast as I can, just with like
It's
headphones in
just
my
like,
head.
it's just playful is such a great word. And, fun is like a core value of mine. And I've been listening to it recently. It made it back to my most played on Spotify. And so I'm really big on curiosity around things. When something new happens or something I don't like happens, I try to just lean into it. And I realized like I haven't had a lot of fun in the past 3 years. Like the moments with kids are great, but even when I'm leading and teaching, I don't get to have fun as Donovan. And so Huddle Formation reminds me that that is a value of mine. It's like I get to play, I get to have fun, I get to go out there. And it also, in moments where I feel really lonely, it reminds me that I'm not, that I have a community of people who are rallying and who support me. I'm so lucky, Vinny. I like when people ask me like if I have anyone who supports me, I'm like, yeah, that's one of the biggest blessings in my life is I have a huge network of people who would bend over backwards to like look for support if I needed it. And but I don't see them. And when you're taken away from it, like I have good friends in Virginia. I have great friends in Virginia. I have great friends in California. I have friends here that I've known for a few years, so I'm building close relationships with. But the people who are like in it with me are all so far away. And so it's like hard to see that. And then it just reminds me that they're here, they're cheering, they're chanting. Just like when I was on that chair with my friends circling around me, it's like they're still here. And sometimes when I listen to it, I can even it sound it feels like I can hear us as kids singing it. You know what I mean? It's just a moment I will never forget. That's such a powerful moment.
Totally. And especially like a core memory of like that that's with other people, when you relive that experience in your mind, you can, kind of like you said, you could almost hear you and them singing, but it's like, whether it's auditory, whatever sense it is, their presence is there and their presence is felt, and like what is better than just like, it's like you, just you and your headphones, but there's still people with you, which is just a crazy phenomenon.
And that music sounds like that. The music is very, it's very community. It feels like a community. And when they're on stage, they switch instruments, they switch singers. It's
That's
just
cool.
very much, yeah, it's really, really cool. It's just very much like a collaborative experience. And collaboration is very important to me in my life, professionally and personally. I hate playing Mario Party, except for the games where we're playing together. Like when I'm on a team, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna fight hard. But if it's just me, like, well, I don't want to do it. I don't care,
That sounds, yeah. So my wife Jordan, who you know well, is kind of similar. So like we like to
Yeah, of
play Mario
course she
Party.
is. Of
Like,
course she is.
yeah, she's such a team person. It's amazing. It's so sweet. We play Mario Party and we never do the individual free for all, everybody versus everybody. It's always partner party where it's me and her versus everybody else. And like I'm having a great time, so I don't care either way. But it's just it's very cool. It's very sweet.
Yeah, I love it. And I need to remind myself that a lot, that it's not just me. We push individualism a lot in this country, and I think that that is making us sick. This is like a little heady, but it's like community is so important. You know what I mean? And like having support is so huge. And we're constantly like, I go on these podcasts and people are like, you and you and you, and I'm so grateful for you. And I'm like, it's the work. I'm not the first person who's done this with kids. I'm certainly not the first person or the only person doing it right now. Like, there are people across this country who are doing this in their classrooms and their homes and their youth development programs, right? Like, I have to remind myself of that because that makes me feel connected and it makes me feel like it takes some of that pressure off my shoulder. And like, that's so interesting because huddle formation is literally, I literally just thought about that, right? Like, it's just
Damn.
the team. It's the team. It's the team. And I've always been a team person. I've always loved having a team and having people to do it for and to do it with. And that song is just like, I think what really captures that desire of mine. I never have talked about this song this deeply before. And when you're done with this, I'm absolutely gonna send it to Ninja because I want her to hear this. But that's what I think it really is, you know, is like, it's like, it's all right, y'all, let's get together. The song would come on, I'm in the other room, my friend Kat's like yelling my name, I run in, we're all dancing and singing together. It's like you get together. And I think that I wish we had more of that, you know.
There's a magnetic energy to it, which is so cool. And I think you could say that about a lot of music too, but obviously with the core songs of a person and like the anthem, or it's like a part of their DNA, however you want to phrase that, it brings people together, which I love. Which kind of reminds me to one thing you were just speaking about is I love asking this question, which is when you first hear this song, let's say two or 3 seconds in, obviously you recognize the song right away. What are some of those like immediate feelings or thoughts that you have as soon as you hear this song come on?
Recently, I have just done a lot of like work on myself, my like inner self. I had a lot of shame around how I acted as a kid, in high school specifically, and in college. Because college, you're adults, but you're still a kid, bro. I acted out a lot. I caused a lot of harm. There's things that I just rekindled a friendship with someone I caused harm to in high school, who was like, "You didn't do anything to me," and I was like, "I've been holding this for years. What do you mean I didn't do anything to you? Like, I could have just asked years ago and you would have told me I didn't hurt your feelings." But I always carried a lot of shame around that area. I had a lot of compassion for myself in elementary school and middle school. I had a lot of pride for myself after I got out of college because of the work I started doing with kids. But when I looked back at that time, it was always so like gray. Like, I didn't want to look at it. And then what I realized as I got older and started supporting young people, especially with grief, was that I was like hurt. I was like such a hurt little kid who did not know how to take care of himself and did not learn how to take care of other people the way that they really needed to be taken care of, like not just on a surface level. And I look back at that time and I have a lot of compassion for myself now. And so when I hear that song now, I almost immediately get teary-eyed because I think of that kid who just wanted to feel loved and supported so badly and from a community. It just brings up a lot of like, it just brings up a lot of feelings. It's like joy and sadness and compassion. And I would say like feeling of cohesiveness, you know, it makes me embrace that part of my life instead of push it away. Which I think is like one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves is the gift of cohesion and understanding that all these parts, all these moments resonate with us and they stay with us. And even when we've made mistakes and caused harm, we can learn and grow from them and hold ourselves accountable. But just looking back and being like, what was going on at that time in my life? I mean, I was like, my one of my best friends died when I was a senior in high school. The year before, my godbrother died. A few months before that, my grandpa died. And then like my childhood pet died. And my dad died when I was like really little. And so then I look back and I'm like, well, no wonder. No wonder I was so sad. No wonder I was doing drugs and drinking. You know what I mean? No wonder I was causing so much harm to other people. I was just harmed as hell. And that song makes me feel safe, but it makes me feel safe to, I think, explore those things and to hold space for them to be like, all right, Donnie, like 17-year-old Donnie in the shits, right? Here he is. Like, embrace it. Embrace him, you know?
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, it's like It's such an intense and abrupt exposure on your younger self or like your previous self, you know, because I feel like in some ways, like I still carry the playfulness of 8-year-old Benny. Like I still know, like I feel some of those things. And so, yeah, I definitely, some of those things I really connect with. It's like when you think about the younger version of yourself that you feel bad for, made mistakes, who didn't have the love, didn't have the support of the community. It's like I can almost like, in my mind's eye, I can like look at myself in the face and just feel sad for the kid. It's like somebody give this kid a hug,
A fucking hug.
tell him he's gonna be all right, give him some helpful guidance on how to, you know, model good behavior, give him some good ass examples so he can learn how to be a good kid. It's like he is a good kid, but he makes some mistakes and does have some dumb behavior. Help him learn how to not repeat those things, you know? So it's
Any
like, oh.
perspective that's has completely changed. And I say perspective because I don't push my perspectives on people, which is something that people have pushed me back for. Call yourself an expert, right? Like you have the answers. And I think that there are so many answers and there are so many people, right? Like that there's no way there's one answer that solves everyone's problems, right? And what you go through is different from what I go through. My capacity is different from your capacity. But I look at people as people, because I'm not a good person, I'm not a bad person, but I have to just look at what I'm doing. I have the capacity to do good, I have the capacity to do bad. So even when I'm doing my work, like right now, if I believed I was a good person, I think that like kind of creates this wall that prevents me to see if I am causing harm to people, right? It's like, and then I'm not going to take accountability because I'm a good person. You're just sensitive, right? Or is I'm a bad person. If I believe that I'm a bad person, I think that takes away the possibility I think I can do good. And I know when I work with kids, it's like you are a kid. And if you're doing good, you're probably feeling good. And if you're doing bad, you're probably feeling bad, right? Not you are a good kid or a bad kid. And again, that's just my perspective. But when I look at kids at camps and stuff like that, like I go to schools and I go to the bad kids and I'm like, cool, I'm gonna go talk to them, right? Because those are just kids. What you're describing is their behaviors. You're not describing who like them at their core, right? But bad behaviors, I met one child who I was like, keep your eye on him, honestly. And that's all I'm gonna say because he worried me, right? Like he worried me in terms of he enjoyed doing that. And I was trying to get to like the virtue, and he had loving parents, and I don't know what was going on, but he loved it a little too much. Everyone else I've met who's doing bad is struggling or suffering, right? And so I think back to that kid was like, I might have been doing a lot of bad, but it was because I was suffering a lot, you know? And then I got to choose to do good daily. I got to choose. It's like my choice. That's what I told those boys at camp. You know, it's like you did some bad things already. Now you have a choice. You want your legacy to be a legacy of we fixed this and we turned our shit around, or do you want your legacy to be we broke this? And it's like all on your choices, you know?
And have that be the lasting memory. Like, what do you want to be the last thing that people remember? And obviously you can't like, you know, have like cast a spell and do some witchcraft and be like, you love me now. You love me so much. Like that does not exist, but it's like you can say the right thing, do the right thing, show the right body language. You know, as a former young person, and I still feel like I'm young in ways, like there's so much to be learned about body language and how we communicate in that way. And like teenagers, especially as you know, working with kids, it's like, man, you didn't open your words, but I could tell you how you're feeling right now. Like you didn't open your mouth. It's like I know where you're at right now.
I mean, that's why I love middle school is because they're so easy to read.
Yeah, they're
And
so
I'm very big
open.
on like, you believe what people say, which is a tough thing. I try really hard to say what I mean and to do with the things I want and to not do what I don't want, right? So if I say I'm gonna do something, I want to do it. Middle schoolers are just like, I don't care. I don't need anyone. And I'm like, oh, you need everybody. It's like just the opposite. And I did it like once to a kid and they got so mad at me. And I was like, all right, I'm not going to do that again. It's just like a note in my head because it was just like, I don't give a shit about this class anyways. I don't care if I ever get an A in math. And I was like, oh, babe, you're hurting. You care. You do care, right? But it's like, I think that kids have not built that level of trust and honesty with themselves yet. It's not
Yeah.
because there's something wrong with them, but that's just a developmental piece. But I also think that not everybody does that.
Yeah.
So not every kid grows into an adult that does that, right? I still see adults doing that. When you have, I was just watching The House of Villains, the reality show. It's just like all the assholes from reality shows put into a house. And
Oh
I'm watching
my
them fight. And
God.
I'm like, God, y'all are kids, bro. Like, I know this is TV, but I hope you all take it off and you're like, okay, thanks, bye, hug. Because this shit is so surface. Like, how do you not see through this? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
You
that's
know, you gotta meet
whack.
people where they're at.
Yeah. That show sounds like it just sounds like the Super Bowl of reality TV. That sounds
I mean,
so crazy.
it's got New York on it to, from Flavor of Love, and I love New York. She
Okay.
is so problematic and she's so funny. So I watch clips of it. I like to think that I'm not addicted to it, but I because I don't watch the shows, I just watch clips. But if you watch 4 hours of the clips, bro, you're watching the show.
Good awareness, my friend. Good awareness.
I see.
Nice. Well, speaking of awareness, let's go to our next track that you picked out, The Things That Made You by Dan Romer. And I, when you sent me these three songs, I was like, finally, somebody sent me something from a film score, because
Oh
I'm
my
someone that
God.
listens to movie soundtracks. I listen to video game soundtracks when I'm working, also sometimes when I'm working out. So
Yeah.
thank you so much. And I think I want to ask first, Beasts of the Southern Wild. What is that
Have
film?
you
Because
seen it?
I have not seen it. I have not seen it.
Oh my
I don't even know what
God,
it is.
bro. Okay. I'm sorry. Beasts of the Southern Wild is a movie that came out, I want to say, like maybe 2007 or 2008.
Okay.
I don't know when it came out because I found it randomly. It's very highly rated. I don't know what that's called. It's got good reviews, but
Sure.
it has this actress named Favonzi Hay. She was Black Annie.
Okay.
A few years later, she got that role. And there was also this man from this area that he had never done acting before and auditioned, and it was just like such a good match between them. It was her first movie, it was his first movie, I think. I hope I'm not wrong about him.
Sure.
It's a movie about loss, and it's a movie about grief. And speaking of things helping you process, that was like all the therapy that I needed as a kid. But I got to see that as an adult. I sobbed so hard. It is some of the most powerful storytelling I've ever seen. But it's about this little girl named Hush Puppy who lived in this community called the Bathtub that is basically outside of the levees. And so they are like off the grid and they live very like not connected to the government. Like we do our own thing, like we teach our kids, but it's this huge community of like culture and celebration, a lot of drinking, but they like really take care of each other. And she lives with her dad, and her dad is alcoholic, and is struggling with some sort of illness that she doesn't know about. But basically, it's her journey with grief of losing her father, but also losing her community because basically the community, I guess it's okay because it's like years old at this point, but the community is also lost in this movie. And so she loses her community and she loses her dad. And it's this like 6-year-old girl, like in really powerful storytelling, trying to understand and process grief. And I watched that movie, and there's a line she has with her dad when the things that made us is playing. No, that's Deathbed, excuse me. Things that made us is just one of my favorite because of the name of it, but I'll get to this more in a second. She's just talking to her dad, and he's saying goodbye to her. And she's been this strong character this entire movie, a 6-year-old who should not have had to be strong. And then that moment broke her. When I first saw it, I lost it. I lost my dad when I was six. And I felt like in a lot of ways I was that kid. I was like just trying to be strong and keep things together and keep moving. And it's just one of my favorite movies. I've seen it at least over 20 times, but One of the biggest reasons I love that movie is the score. So I always do this, which I should not do. So I'm going to actually fix this right now. But Dan Rohmer and Bane, I don't know how to say their. Ooh, hold on one second. Because I always do this because Dan Rohmer is a huge person to me now. I found him through this, but he did this with someone else. Bane Zetlin. Ben Zetlin. I'm so sorry if I'm pronouncing this wrong. It's Benh, so I don't know how to say that. Ben Zetlin, right? It was the first score that I listened to. The music amplifies the story and the feeling so much. It has really beautiful strings. It has trumpets. It has this very like whimsical feeling to it, but then it has these really powerful, gentle, slow, sad moments to it. And one of the things I like about scores is that they take one theme and they play with it the entire score, or a good score, in my opinion, does that. And I just was obsessed with that movie because it was the only place that I got to think about my experience of losing my dad. And again, like I'm very lucky I had my mom and she was great, but I was missing a huge piece of my life. And her mom is not present in the movie as well. Actually, that cohesive line I gave you, I took from that movie.
Nice.
Because there's a scene where she's talking to this guy who has all these chicken sandwich wrappers on the ground. And she says, "Why do you keep them?" And he says, "I keep them because each one reminds me of who I was when I ate it." And I just and it, he said it makes me feel cohesive. And then she goes in her little voice, "I want to be cohesive." And I was like, "Me too, me too. I want to be cohesive." And yeah, Dan Rohmer, I had this like huge, like just he just became my favorite artist from after listening to him. Because I didn't see anything else from Ben. That's why I never bring him up, is
Sure.
because I feel like that was the only one he did or the only one I could find. But Dan had like a significant like discography. He did a bunch of scores. And there were several times over the years where I would find a new score of his that would be exactly what I needed in that moment. And when I think about Beast of the Southern Wild score, it is like my grief score, you know, because it is all of the things that grief encapsulates. It's like everything. It's like the joy, it's like the sadness, the nostalgia, the anger. It's all these moments. And at camp specifically, I had a series of events that kind of happened that I didn't really share with people, but I'm gonna share with you. Lauren, our social media woman, pulled me aside very quickly and was like, "I want you to do like a grief talks thing." And she recorded me and she had me talk about my dad. And I brought up a lot of stuff about him that I hadn't really talked about before. I think I've gotten good at talking about my dad's death, but like at a surface level, right? And again, my surface level is a little bit deeper. So it sounds like I'm going very deep, but to me, I know I could go deeper.
Right.
And so camp always kind of brings that up, but I also find myself being like my dad at camp. And my dad was a commander in the in the army. He was like huge and into like I don't know. He just was very. He was what I needed, bro. That's what I gotta say. It's like he would have whooped my ass, and I don't mean physically.
Yeah.
Maybe he probably would have beat me, but there's a lot of things where I was like, if my dad saw me, he would not.
Yeah.
He would have me on the floor, right?
He'd straighten you up real
Which
quick.
which I needed so badly as a kid, and so. I've always been like my mom as a teacher, but in those moments, especially at camp and stuff, I get to be that person that's like, yeah, I love you. And also I'm gonna call you out and I'm gonna hold you accountable and I'm gonna have high standards for you and I'm gonna help you have high standards for yourself. And like if you're mad at me, be mad at me, right? Like be pissed at me. But I'm still gonna be here and I still care about you. That's the end of it.
Straight up.
And so at camp, I was having a lot of those experiences. I was thinking about my dad, I was talking to Lauren about that. And then she asked me about my favorite memory, and I told her about this song that my dad used to sing, The Wheels on the Bus. And my dad used to troll us a lot. So you saw me messing with kids. Like that's where that comes from. Like he used to mess with us all the time. And so he would have my brother on his lap and he would do the wheels on the bus go round and round and round. And he would do it really fast. And then with me, he would do it really slow. And I would be pissed and I'd be like, go faster. And he was like, what? I don't understand. And so for my birthday 2 years ago, my mom found and converted a V audio. And it was him singing to me.
Oh.
And I'd only listened to it on my birthday those years ago. And so at camp, I was just feeling like my dad was there. And I was listening to that score a lot, specifically the things that made us, because it has such a softness to it. But it's like so strong at the same time. And I went and I sat on the bench after that meeting with Lauren. Well, first of all, I went to the Shark Tank thing
Oh,
that
yeah.
we were doing. Yeah, that's when this happened. And I
Oh,
was like,
wow.
I'll be good at masking. This is like a trend I have, which is like I have resting devastation face, which means like if I'm not intentionally fixing my face, it will look like my whole family just died on the Titanic. And I was trying so hard to be like, I'm just gonna go in there and be there for the boys. I get up there, one of the boys in my group was like, mouths to me, are you okay? While he's up there presenting. And I was like, ah, nope, I gotta go because he could tell. So I went and I sat by the water and I listened to the things that made you. And then I read at the end of the score, at the end of the movie. See, I always confuse these two. At the end of the movie, they're giving the dad a burial. Sorry, I'm trying really hard not to get shot.
You're fine. You're fine.
Because I kind of don't want to. There's this passage, and it's like what helps me understand grief. And it was I'm going to share it with you if that's okay.
Please.
So I was sitting there, like by the water, looking out. It was like an absolutely like gorgeous day, and I just told myself like the passage. Because I was thinking about my dad, and it's as I stand by the bayou, I watch a ship as she disappears. There she is gone, and we cry for this, but she's not gone. She's just as real when she left me. And somewhere else, other voices are calling out, here she comes, and that is dying. Here she comes. And they all chant it together. And it has been what has helped me understand grief. Like, it's hard for me to understand spiritually what happens to us, but just this simple concept of like, she's gone, right? And I played my dad's voicemail and I was like crying and I was laughing. And then I listened to the song again and I just kept saying the passage over and over in my head. And then a boat was on the water. And as I started, the second time I started it, I saw the boat and then I like allowed it to just time out. And by the time I was done, the boat was gone. I couldn't see it again. And I just sat there and listened to the things that made you like over and over again. And I called my mom and was just like, I just want to be like held in this moment. Like, I don't need you to fix anything. I just don't want to be alone in my grief. And I just think it's like really beautiful. It's really powerful. I've been harassing Dan Rahmer for years. I like drunk messaged him on Instagram and he messaged me back. And so I've talked to him several times. Yeah, I've talked to him several times,
Wow.
which has been really cool. And this new mental health documentary that we're doing, my goal is to get him to score it because I could not imagine anyone else to score it. I could not. I will take out a fucking loan if I have to, if we can't afford it in the budget, because he has to score it. Because the music, the way that he, I don't know how to explain it. It just feels like exactly what I need.
Yeah.
And there's been several moments where I had not been able to process what I was going through and his scores. There's, and I got to this thing where I don't know if this is bad to say, but I would purposely not watch the movies that he scored. And I was like, no, I want this to be mine. Like, I don't want this to tell another story. But Beasts of the Southern Wild worked because it was the story and the score. And the story was mine and the score was mine. And then, yeah, The Things That Made You is, it's just a reminder for me to like honor that grief, and to make space for it. And in a powerful yet really gentle way. It's a short song. It's not long. It's not long, but it gets me. It gets me, which is like my favorite because I'll be like listening to it crying and I'm like having this moment and then it ends and I have to like go back and restart it, which like really like takes you out of the moment, right? You're like snob, like you're like having this huge breakthrough and then it ends and you have to like stop and dry your hands off and then you can go back to crying and stuff. But I listened to it like 5 times at camp. It was just, yeah, it was really, really, yeah, I'm really grateful for that score. I'm grateful for that movie.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And very cool that you're able to connect with the composer on it too, and like have that sort of connection. Like that's such a kind of a full circle moment.
He's a cool guy. He's done a lot of really big stuff recently. He One of my favorite newest ones he did was Luca. He did the Pixar film for Luca.
I looked up, so as we were talking about him, I
Yeah.
went to Spotify. I'm like, what has this guy done in the past? But yeah,
Yeah, yeah.
Station 11, which I've heard is a good TV show on
Yes, Station
HBO.
11. Yes,
Haven't
100%.
watched it.
He did Maniac. My favorite score from him is from this movie called Sleepwalking in the Rift, which is like an independent film that I've never watched. It's about a woman going to Africa, and all I know is from the trailer. But that one specifically, I was debating between picking a song from that album or this one, but I brought up Beasts of the Southern Wild because of the grief stuff. But ooh, when I heard Sleepwalking in the Rift, I was like, it was like the hardest time of my, besides losing my dad, I would say it was probably one of the hardest periods of my life. Like I experienced the most failure and loss within such a short amount of time. And I would listen to that album. And again, it had nothing to do with like, I had no romance happening in my life. And I think that's what that was about. But it was like everything to me. I mean, I just, it was everything to me. So I just love that stuff. And strings are just, I play the viola, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
Not
cool.
actively. I bought one, but I'm trying to get lessons. It's just hard to find viola lessons for adults. But it's like what he does with the strings. He also does these kind of like chant songs. He has one called Chant, literally. It's also one of my favorites. And he has one from Wendy, which was another movie about Wendy from Peter Pan. Called I Love My Mother, called I Love My Mother. And I've had like spiritual moments listening to that music. He's incredible. What he does is incredible. I'm obsessed with him.
I mean, film scores are just unbelievable. Like we were saying before, like listening to them while working out, or just like processing, thinking about things. There's one, there's a piano player by the name of Bill Lawrence that I'm a huge fan of, who has been a part of some different bands. He does some solo stuff, like a solo piano album, or like a trio album, which is like more jazz based. But he's also done a couple of film scores, which I haven't seen the films, and I haven't fully listened to everything that he's written for them or composed for them. But it's very similar, where it's like, I'm trying to think of the album that he put out in 2022. I can't remember what it's called. It has kind of like this bluish purplish album art to it. I could send it to you.
Yeah, please do.
He's from London. Let me just find this.
Oh,
Affinity.
yeah.
Affinity is what it's
Affinity.
called. It almost looks like purple and light blue molecules in a way. But it's just a solo album of him in a piano, and it is just this, and there's so much reverb, which is that echoey effect on in instruments. And it's just like a single grand piano or a baby grand in a huge concert hall. You know, it's probably just in a room with reverb on it. But just like so much sustained, beautiful sounds and chords that come out. And like, you know, living with my now in-laws last summer, for the summer, there were times where I would just like, after a hard day of work, put headphones on and listen to that album, or listen to like a different one of his albums, just sitting in the hot tub and like looking at the sky. And it just like reinforces, you know, it's very grounding, I guess you could say, or makes you feel cohesive. You know, to what you mentioned before, where it's just like, this song and these notes and the sounds that are entering my brain right now are helping me feel like things are fine and I am fine and I'm right where I should be and I'm making the right decisions, even though I'm second guessing myself left and right or second guessing what I had just had said. But like certain songs of his, honestly, a lot of songs of his I listen to and I'm like, I'm completely fine. Everything is completely fine. And I love this so much. So,
I think too, like especially that Sleepwalking in the Rift one, and Beast of the Southern Wild, those are my two favorite by him. You can listen to the whole thing and you can go through the entire experience, like how you're feeling. Like I can have all of the experiences. So I don't have to just listen to this to make me sad, but like if I sit and give like an hour or like 2 hours to this, like I can experience all the things that I need to experience. And he always ends, it seems like, at least those two soundtracks, the scores, he always ends with this big, like really intense version of kind of the main theme of what he's been doing, but it's always really empowering, and really like powerful. And he just has these like, I wish I had the better words to understand it, but these, the music kind of like he has these build up moments like instrumentally, and then it comes down really gently. Like it's one of my favorite types of music. I don't know what it is that he does, but I'll send you some examples so you can hear it. But there's
Please.
these moments where you feel like you are holding your breath and you release it. And he does that in so many of his songs, with the music that he is composing. It's just like, oh God, it makes me feel like, it always makes me like have goosebumps or gives me like, so yeah. And there, once there was a hush puppy and she lived in the bathtub with her daddy is the last song from that album, and it is glorious. It's so good. It's so empowering. It's so powerful. It's got the theme in it. It's got all these instruments. The trumpets are crazy. The strings are beautiful. And you just witness such a rough moment for this little girl, but you end on such a hopeful note. And it just tells the story so well. So I think anything that he composes, he really understands the story and knows how to create an experience that can, it's, it feels more than just watching the movie and hearing music in the background. It's very like cohesive. Sorry, I keep saying that.
No, but it
Cohesive,
totally.
cohesive is my word for the year, so.
It's a great word, and it very much applies to this right now, so I get it. But yeah, it's amazing how like some of these composers can like they'll read a script and they might like meet an actor or two, meet a director or producer, but then they just get it, and then they can tell that story with just the with instruments. And I shouldn't say just instruments, like they're nothing, but like using these tools to create this beautiful sound. Whereas like a director or a what is it called in film? Like director of photography, someone who would be like behind the camera, like they're visual. And it's like, how can we get the right shot? How can we get this angle? But the composer is just like, oh, I got this. And I know you're gonna like, I'm gonna give you, this is what melancholy sounds in 10 seconds. Now you know what melancholy is. Like, I think that's so cool.
I love it. I mean, you watch some of the scenes without the music and it's, you know, they're good, but with the music, it just is so powerful. And I think that like sometimes when I was having really tough moments, I needed that. I needed that extra boost, right? Like I needed to feel like this was, I needed to feel it all. I didn't want to just feel like I'm sad, but like I wanted to feel grief. I wanted to feel like sorrow in that moment, right? And so I can listen to his stuff and his scores and really like lean into them.
It's like it's like unclogging the drain and just like letting it all flow, just like let it go.
I think actually right now would be a good time to find a new Dan Rahmer score. It's been a while since I've been up because I would get like, you're in the top 0.001% followers of Dan Rahmer. And I was like, I would send it to him. I'm like, hell yeah, I am. I'm like so intense. I'm so intense. But I told him my dream of having him score, and he told me that when I had something that he was ready.
Wow, that's awesome. It's super
I don't want to
exciting.
hold him to that, but my God. Like, to be able to see my story being told with his music in the background, I would lose my shit. I would lose my absolute mind. My mom was like, "Is he gay? Can you date him?" And I was like, "That's so weird. That's such
Maybe.
a weird, that's such a weird question to ask." But also, I don't know. I don't know. No idea.
That's such a mom move to jump to something like
Yes,
that.
it
Immediately
is.
like, how can they make your life be better?
I mean, my mom also. told me to date the dude who had been in love with me for like 6 years online and wrote me a really intense poem and posted it online without me knowing. And she was like, "He obviously loves you, date him." And I was like, I don't know if I'm taken. That was one of the first moments where I was like, I don't know if I have to just listen to you all the time anymore. I was like, it's about time for me to start putting my own thoughts into your suggestions.
Love you so much, mom. Thanks for that. But like, maybe don't like just out my whole personal life.
I was like, I'm nervous. And she was like, he loves you, obviously. And I was like, Mom, this makes me uncomfortable. And she was like, you're uncomfortable with love. And I was like, this is not love. He doesn't know me. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
No.
Don't send her this.
So it goes. So it goes. Love you, mom.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm so excited to get into some soundtracks now. I'm so
Oh
excited.
yeah. Oh
And I'm
yeah,
excited to
dude.
send you some of the stuff that I've been shooting
Yes, I
out
was gonna say,
too.
please send me stuff too, because I love scores. I love scores. Dustin O'Halloran is one of my favorites too. I mean, you got like classics like Hans Zimmerman and stuff, but like, Interstellar was amazing. But I always think that those are more like atmospheric, like you're creating the atmosphere for the movie, but I feel like a score that like tells the story of the movie with it is really, really powerful.
And kind of like what you said before, if you were like muting the TV while watching Beast of the Southern Wild, you could see that it's still like a good story. Or maybe, you know, if there's still the voices but no music, it's like, oh, this is nice. But like the thinking of food, like the amount of flavor that music adds to movies, it's like if I'm gonna have a burger, I don't just want the bun and the patty. Like I want you to load this thing up.
3 pounds of bacon.
And like 17 ounces of salt. Oh, amazing, amazing. This is so great. Let's keep cruising on. We've got one more track. We've got Firelight.
Firelight.
Firelight by 100 Waters. So tell me how this little I was about to say firefly, but it's a different word than firelight, isn't it? Tell me how this flew into your life.
Vapor, it's vapor pop is what they call it. I just have to turn this on, but I'm plugged in.
For
But
sure.
it's bothering me so much. Okay, so 100 Waters. I have a really special story with that one. I
This
love
is
100
the
Waters.
wrong show then. We don't do special stories here.
I'm glad it stayed. I mean, because all three of these songs, I was like, I don't know which one to go last, but Firelight was a really good one. And I think it's also very relevant to where I'm at right now. So I, without giving away too much information, I worked at a camp for about 5 weeks. I mean, if anyone who worked at me at this camp, they're gonna know what I'm talking about. But I'm not gonna say the name of it. But I worked at this camp for 5 weeks as a program manager. And basically it was, I really appreciate the mission of the camp. The staff was really great. My camp director was amazing. I got into it. It was my first time being a manager instead of like a counselor, and why I don't like to do higher or administration stuff for camps, because I'm not like not there to do that. I'm there to be with the kids. But I didn't realize that at the time. And basically, without trying to figure out like a best way to say this, because I still really respect the people I worked with, and I could possibly go back to that camp one day if they needed me to. But basically, that summer was very, very, very difficult. First of all, 5 weeks is a lot. It's a long time for
It
camp. We had different kids each week, but still, I think it was actually 6 weeks altogether, because there was like a little bit of a break for us, like 2 days. But basically, they took kids who lived in a part of the city that was very underserved. A lot of trauma was happening in this community, to this community, within this community. I had worked at a school in that community and I almost stopped working with kids. That's how like rough it was. So you take these kids who have a lot of like trauma response behaviors, a lot of like, I'm going to take care of myself however I need to. So if the adults in my life aren't, I'm going to, which means kids acting very tough, and doing very bad adult things. You take them to the woods for the first time. A lot of times these kids have never really been out of the city, especially not in like such a nature environment, natural environment. And the problem was that we had a lot of staff. I'm just gonna lay it out. We had a lot of staff that were white and 21 and from Europe. And so you had white 21-year-old people from Europe working with Black kids from like inner city America, right?
Yeah.
Like in a really tough area for everybody involved. And so there was just tons of microaggressions. Tons of microaggressions and tons of trauma behaviors. And I say trauma behaviors because that's what they were. You can call these kids bad if you want to, but in reality, they got put into a new place. They had counselors. Some of these counselors were amazing. Every counselor there had good intentions, but that doesn't mean you know how to work with the community you're working with, right?
Right.
Like I just to own that. And as a program manager, my job was to support the counselors. And that was my first mistake because I didn't agree with a lot of times where they would be upset. And then I also was like, I'm always going to have the kids' baths, right? Like, we're the adults. If you got your feelings hurt, like, I get it, but like, we got to be there for this kid. Let's talk to them. Like, somebody calling you bitch once is not enough to get these kids sent home, right? Like, because this
Right.
is like, you have to understand how these kids act and how they show up and how they behave. Like, what you think is a send home offense is
Yeah.
a talk. We have to have a talk with these kids. It was just so dramatic for good and for bad reasons. It was emotionally exhausting. And then there were some situations towards the end where I was asked to do things that like I didn't like. And then I had a situation with a kid who it's like a lot of trauma. I'm not trying to spill too much of it, but basically like asked me to adopt him because of shit that was happening at his house and like was begging me. And I was like a 28-year-old at the time. And like I was just so emotionally exhausted and it was really, really rough. Plus having to be the bad guy all the time was really tough
Yeah.
because the only time I got to really interact with a lot of the kids on one-on-one was like through tough conversations. And we were having to send kids home weekly. Like that's like a common thing at this camp,
Wow.
which to me is like an indicator that there needs to be more support, right? Like, which they do now. So for the record, a lot of these things were a learning moment for the camp and they've
Yeah.
changed a lot. So because I don't want to badmouth this camp, but it was a really, really bad experience for me. And I had one of the things I had to do, I actually offered to do it because I just wanted to leave camp so bad. Like I just did not want to be there. And we had to take some kids back from camp to where they're from, and it was about a 2-hour drive. And so I drove them, but this was like I think week 4 or 5, so it was getting towards the end, and I was just really, really like, I don't want to go back. And when I was driving back home, well, in that ride, one of the things the kids did was we already got kicked out, so we can do whatever we want in this bus. And I was like, cool, well, call your parents and tell them the new pickup spot is the side of the interstate, 1.5 hours away, because I'm not driving this bus if y'all don't act right. And they're like, you can't just sit here. And I was like, yeah, I can. I don't have to go anywhere, bro. Like, your parents can come pick you up here. And when they tell you this is inconvenient, you explain to them why. I don't care. I was like, I got one more week here. I don't give a shit, bro. I'm done. Like, if they tell me I can't come back for this, they're not supporting me because they're throwing stuff out the windows at cars. Like, this is not going to work, right? So
No
eventually
way.
they stopped. They were good. I dropped most of them off, but there was one kid left, and she was someone who was like, I don't care about this shit. I don't need this. This camp is stupid, blah, blah, blah. And then she asked me, like, I know I messed up. Like, can you please take me back? Like, and I was like, it's too late. And it was really sad. And she cried. And then I left. And there was just a lot of like moments like that at camp where I had to like hold firm boundaries and then hold emotional space for camp. Like, laugh, and it was just, oh my God, it was so exhausting. So on that way back, I used this app. This is like a little ad. I used this app called Hype Machine. Have you heard of it?
I have not.
Dude, Hype Machine. I thought Hype Machine was up there with like iTunes and Pandora when I was like younger because I found it in college. That's where I've been getting most of my music. And then they sent me this like box, like at their 10-year anniversary, because I was one of the first 100 people to sign up for it. And I've been using it since then. But basically, they track, from what I understand, they track music blogs and then they make a playlist of what's being blogged. And so
Okay.
then you have like, you get a lot of remixes, you get a lot of like independent artists, you get a lot of like, I heard Billie Eilish on there a year before she blew up. I heard Riptide. Remember that fucking baby, coming back to the Riptide, taking
Oh
away.
yeah,
God,
that
that song
Toyota Corolla commercial song.
that
Yeah.
was there forever. I heard that like 2 years before it came out.
Wow.
So I basically have been building my list on Hype Machine for a while, but on that trip, I found like five artists in a row that I just became like, whoa, this is so good. Another huge one was his name is Moses Thumb. Do you know him? Moses.
Moses Sumner?
Yeah, Sumney.
Sumney. Okay. I've heard the name. I've not ventured into the
Oh
songs.
my God. I love Moses. He makes me melt. I heard Firelight and I was like, whoa, whoa. Something about this is like punching me in the stomach. And the lyrics to the song, I listened to it like 17 times on that car ride. Like I just kept listening to it. It wasn't 17, it was like 10.
Sure.
And the songs were, it was just hitting me hard because it was describing, it felt like I was asking for my light to come back. And that's what that song is really about, in my opinion, is like, sunshine, where have you gone? And it just talks about like the firelight in my life. And I was very sad at that time, but also like I'd also had a very tough year before that, and a really bad summer before that, and a really tough year before that. Like it was just very tough and a lot of unprocessed stuff that happened to me. But the reason that that moment really sticks out to me is because the camp was about 20 minutes from the main road. It was actually like 30 minutes. So you see this one little mile marker, you turn right, and then you're basically traveling through the mountain before you get to camp. And I lied. I was like, oh, there's traffic. I'm gonna be late. I'm just, and eventually they were like, we'll see you when you get back, Donovan. Like you can stop like updating us because you're clearly not gonna be back in when you're
Right.
supposed to. I just parked the car. It was nighttime. I parked the car or the bus and sat out and just blasted it. And there's no houses out there. So I'm so sorry, nature, because nature was probably sleeping, but I just listened to it and I just like cried really, really hard. It was a huge emotional release for me because like it was the aftermath of when a bunch of really bad things happened to me, because of me and not because of me when I was like 26. And I not processed it. I just moved across the country. I took a new job. It was all just a lot of stuff was happening. And I just sat there and I listened to it. And especially the part where that instrument picks up. I don't know what it is. I have such a hard time describing like what that song is, except for vapor pop, because that's what they called it. 100
I'm gonna go
times.
back to it.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up right now. So it's like I think it is a song about romance, but also it doesn't really. It feels like the sun will come out tomorrow. It's like that kind of song, right? So it's like sunshine, where did you go? I know tomorrow you'll be waiting for me. I'd do anything, I'd walk through your fire if only you'd peek through. Half of my battles caught in your shadow. And I was just thinking about like how deeply, I missed feeling like happy and feeling light and feeling like excited and because I had so much momentum in when I was in grad school and stuff, and then everything fell apart. And then from then on, it was just like I'm just running to keep up, right? But there were so many tough experiences that really made me feel, because I didn't get the help I needed and I didn't get the support I needed and I didn't take care of myself, that it was just like I was just begging for sunlight again. And I'm just like begging for another day. To just feel good, to feel like that fire that had been driving me for so long. And I, to this day, that song always puts me back. I remember that dirt road. I remember the headlights of the van with the dust. I remember you could see over the mountain. It was nighttime. There was no fear. I probably should have been more afraid if we had bears. But I was blasting that music really loud, and it was like one of the first times in like a couple of years, I think like 2 years from when I moved to California, that I had like allowed myself to feel peace and just to sit. And it was quiet and there was no one around. And so I didn't have to be Dono friend. I didn't have to be someone's teacher, someone's counselor, or someone's friend. I got to just like have this union with nature and kind of my higher power in the universe, and say like, I miss this and I need this, and I'll do what it takes to get this back. And it helped me when I got back to camp. I actually quit, because I realized it was like not a good place for me. And I was like, there was a lot of harm done, and I was put in a lot of positions that I shouldn't have been put in. But just that moment in the sun is what it felt like. Even though it was nighttime and pitch black, I felt like I was in the light. And that moment in the light reminded me that that's what I should be going after. And I was like, and I'm so sorry. And my boss was so great. He was like, you take care of yourself. You do what you got to do. I don't hold this against you. There's only 1 week left. Like, take care of your. I think I made it some lie about, well, it was kind of a lie, but about like not having a place to stay when I got back. There was not an emergency, but I made it seem like an emergency. But she knew that it had taken a toll on me. And I think about that a lot, like when I'm in my low moments, like committing myself back to like pulling myself out of that darkness, right? And to do it in this kind of loving and graceful way. Like, I have a relationship with light, I have a relationship with my fire, I have a relationship with the good. And I just need to commit and call out to it. And I was out there on a mountain calling out. And it was the first day I heard that song, and I just could not stop listening to it. I mean, I love all, I like really like their stuff in general. I like the music style. Does really have this like vapor feeling to it. But they're also just very like emotionally intelligent songs. But I've never thought of it like this will come out until tomorrow. Yeah, you're like singing to your light, sunshine, where'd you go? When are you gonna come back? I know you're going to. So come out, climb out of your hideout, reach out to me, I'll open my eyes. It was like a promise I made, like with something larger than me. It was like, I'm here. Like, I want this. I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to feel all these awful feelings I've been feeling for years. And then I went back and I got into therapy and started to get some support, because that was like my push to it. But I don't think I really processed that that song was what really ignited that for me. But I felt like I was like on E. I had no light left in me. And that job really took it all out. It was so rough, especially that kid. I haven't talked about that in a while, but that kid who asked me to adopt him, it was so traumatic, bro, to have someone, to have this kid beg. And he was like crying, and he was like, I'll be good, I'll be good. Like, I know I'm stupid. He had a bad situation with his foster family, and like a really bad situation that I helped sort out. And I just couldn't do it. And like when I left, he like tried to chase my car and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, my brain.
Jeez.
But I just realized like the love of the work that I had been doing. I love working with kids, man. I love holding space for them. I'm not a therapist, but a lot of people just need someone to listen to them. A lot of people just need to feel seen and feel heard. You don't have to be a therapist to do that. But I ended up playing this role for a lot of kids. Whether they asked me to or not, I just did it. I martyred myself a little bit, that I had to take care of so many people, and I had to, but I wasn't like taking care of myself. And so from grad school until that camp, it was just taking on, taking on, taking on, taking on. And I just felt like this huge heaviness in my heart and my soul, especially hearing kids talk about depression and talking about hating themselves and really just being like, there's not much I can do but just be here and love you. But I was just so deeply overcommitted. I was doing things that I shouldn't have done, to try to support young people. And then it just like snuffed out that fire. And I said it's relevant now because that's now that I'm a mental health speaker and I travel, all that's great. But I was starting to realize, like, in my downtime, there is no fire. I'm starting to realize that the fire, I put all of my sticks into the fire for my work, but there's no fire that supports me. Like, that fire is empty. And so I have to really build that fire up, like, more, right? The other fire is great. That fire is roaring. I can't slow my career down unless I got myself canceled right now. You know what I mean? Like, unless I hard stop, like people are booking me, like people are like, things are just happening, but I've spent a lot of time building that fire up, but I've let this other fire, I've been pulling from my fire for a long time. And when I heard firelight, I think that was the first time I thought about like what I felt like I was missing, you know, like I had the opportunities, I was growing, but I felt like I was missing. And it was that like fire for life, like to feel excited about life, to feel happy. Like I just did not have that anymore.
I mean, it sounds like there was like a deep, like a developed and deep awareness of like what was missing. Like you started asking yourself, like, what are you missing right now, and what's causing you to feel this way and think this way and act this way? You finally were able to kind of pinpoint it. And then like the word that I was thinking about so much when you're telling that story, I mean those two stories, but the commitment and the recommitment, because you know there is only so much capacity, and there's so only so many inner re resources that we have to give to other people or to give to a thing like a business. You know, if you're fixing your car, like to that, whatever it is, there's only so much. There's only so much. So you have to be able to retain some of that and recommit those resources to yourself. Because like there's so much love and support you can get from friends, family, your partner, coach, whoever it is, but it's like the most important relationship that anybody has is with
It's with
themselves.
yourselves.
And you got to like recommit those resources to fill yourself up before you can go out and do your good work. Because like everybody knows that like Donald Friend is this kick-ass personality and person that can show up in so many amazing ways. But you know, kind of like we were saying earlier before hitting record, it's like if that backbone of Donovan isn't fully there, then Donald Friend is a deck of cards with a little bit of a breeze. Down it goes.
It doesn't exist, you know? And like I have to remind myself, I feel honored to do the work that I do. I feel grateful to be able to do this. But at the same time, like it's still my life. If I decided I wanted to
Yes.
stop working with kids tomorrow, I still got to live with me. What does that look like? What is my life outside of that, you know? And I to just be surviving in my personal life and thriving in my professional life doesn't make any sense. And like again, like I built that fire strong for Dono Friend. I have a lot of faith in it, and I'm not really worried about where it's going to go. It's been taking off in lots of beautiful ways that I can't even really process. But I gotta focus on myself if I want to be here for the long run. I gotta be back there. But it was just this. I think the firelight, like this, like feeling of natural like fire. And being in the forest really kind of helped me like recommit in that moment. Like I felt like I was calling out, you know.
Yeah, it's very raw because in natural spaces like that, I think, I mean, so
So I
many
looked,
people, I
yeah.
feel like they just like come to these realizations, you know? It's like I'm trying to think of like I think in like some Native American cultures, there may be a person that will go out for a couple of days for a type of journey. And I don't know the details behind this, but it's I think, you know, there is like a realization and like coming into your own, and there's growth that can happen when you're just out in nature. You can think differently, you breathe differently. Like I was reading, listened to a podcast a few years ago about how a person wanted to study their immune system when they're just in their city, in their apartment, versus when they do a 3-day camping trip out in the woods. And your T cells that defends your immune systems, that supply of T cells triples when you spend 2 nights outside, because your body just acclimating to a different place, the natural place, the better place, the healthier place. And so I think it's just literally medicinal. So I think that's amazing, and it's very appropriate that you had that profound moment of like clarity with yourself, understanding what you need, and then like just kind of like pivoting that focus light of where to put your energy and resources. And then you're fighting for yourself. You're like you're recommitting to the fight for yourself and your own livelihood, which is can never go to the wayside. It can never go to the wayside.
I gotta do it again. It's just like a pattern because I did. I felt a lot better. I started doing storytelling competitions. I started making the things I wanted to. I had a really great job with kids I loved. Like I was really, really focused on that. And then when the Today Show thing happened, it took me down a path I wasn't sure about. And so recently, that's what I've realized is like it's time to have that conversation again, right? It's time to be like, yep, I'm ready for this. I'm ready to feel better. I don't want to feel like I'm in the darkness all the time, especially when I have one version of me. Like Dono Friend is like firelight compared to me. You know what I mean? When I look at I'm like in my own shadow where I'm like, hey, I love helping kids. And then the back of me is like, I can't get out of bed for days. You know, it's like, so it's balancing that out and figuring it out. But again, like all of these songs have taught me a lot, and all of these songs have played roles for me. And I think like I guide a lot of young people. It's not my job to guide adults, but I think even we, I think adults, I think as humans, we just teach each other. But I know that adults learn from me in spaces, right? And I've learned from other adults that there isn't a lot of space for me to feel, or I've been struggling to find like who guides me, right? Which goes back to like, I wish I could talk to my dad, where I, like, I had a strong mentor. And so thankfully I found a couple people who have been kind of stepping into those roles. But I think that I've been looking for these things in different places, and music has served as a guide, like a guidance for me to understand and think about what I'm going to do. I have like whole life philosophies based off of one line from a song because I just needed it in that perspective, but that way, you know?
And it's like things always, I don't know. I think there are, regardless of what type of experience it is, good or bad, things show up in your life at very particular times that are almost eerie, or it's almost weird that like, oh, this good thing happened today on this day of all days, or like this terrible ha thing happened today on all days. So yeah,
It's all, dude, I'm so huge into that, man. I almost went back to that camp this year. They had changed a lot. I knew in my heart that I could not do it, but I was like, if I'm around kids, it will be better. And though it's 6 weeks, I don't have anything to do, and I don't want to be at home the whole time. And then there was this voice in me that was like, you should wait, just like wait a day before you commit. And then later that day, my friend called me and was like, I've got this opportunity. It's like a 5-day conference with Taco Bell, and they're going to pay you like $9,000. Do you want to do it? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that instead. And it was so good because if I would have done that with how I was feeling and then went to experience camps, I would have lost my mind. 100%, I would have broken down. There's no way I could have done that. And I was about to do it. And then I was like, oh, listen to your voice. And then 2 seconds later, it's like, here, I'm going to take care of you. We're going to give you something to make sure that you don't do that to yourself, you know?
The inner coach. Like I often think about like, like in sports, for instance, like, a tennis player is just that one person out there playing tennis, or if you're doubles, you have a partner. And then there's a coach, telling you what to do, instructing you on physical aspects of how to, rotate your wrist or where to stand, or but when you're out there, it's kind of just yourself. So you have to be able to like develop this third person personality behind you that's feeding you the good advice and giving you the good instructions and directions of what to do. Because, in a lot of situations, we can be emotionally compromised, and that very rational, like, in some, voice that's just needed at that time. Maybe I don't know if rational is the right word, but the voice that you need at the right time isn't there because you're blinded by what just happened, that terrible thing. You just whiffed out a serve, whatever it is. So it's like you have to be able to, have like a second version that's waiting there, like, like a parent in the grandstands of the game watching you shoot free throws, like you
I had
kind
to
of
like Dono friend me, you know?
you have to be able to do that for yourself a little bit. This is great, man. You're so great. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, dude, I love talking about this stuff because I am obsessed with it. We've been talking for almost 2 hours. If you need to cut a song out, cut a song out, but
Not gonna happen. It all stays
okay.
in. This all stays
I
in.
loved it. I loved it. No, I
Oh, man.
appreciate it. I
Oh.
verbally process things, and so it's nice to like it's interesting that I had my therapy before I met with you today because I was talking about a lot of those things
Yeah.
that I'm going to have to work on and things that were coming up for me. Like when I was a kid, when I was like a high schooler and my dad's death and these roles that I feel like I had to play. And so then to be able to come here and think about the work that I've already done in partnership with music and partnership with nature and in partnership with my higher self, you know, it's really interesting that those lined up that way, but that's kind of how life is, I think,
It
if you
is.
pay attention.
If you pay attention, like if you can be open enough to see those signs and just be able to piece up some things together, it's there are like these mini miracles that happen all the damn time.
All the time, all the time. And my life has been tough, but I've also been blessed in a lot of ways. I think blessed in ways that a lot of people don't even get the chance to experience. And so I don't have to be grateful. I choose to be grateful. I need to ground myself back in that. Gratitude for me was my firelight for a long time of
Yeah.
just like really understanding what I have and who I am and what's been done for me. And it is just time. It's time. It's been feeling pretty dark these last few months, so it's definitely time to pull that light back in.
Yeah, it's a good reminder to, because when there is darkness and like when life gets hard, the instincts tell you to put your head down and just trudge through, but you have to pick up your chin. You have to look up. The light comes from the
Literally.
sun. The sun isn't on the floor. Like, look up.
Literally.
All the people that love you,
Literally.
look up. They're looking at you, you know?
Yeah.
So
Literally.
good reminders. Oh, okay. Well, let's round this out. I have one final question, which I love to ask
Sure.
everybody. And this is, I'm gonna push us a little bit more here.
All right.
I'm gonna ask this question or these questions, kind of a two-parter. I'm gonna ask them of Donovan and not Dono friend. So,
Ah.
got you,
All
got you.
right, gotcha.
Is there anything you're excited about, and or do you have any words of wisdom that you would want to share to anybody that listens?
I'm excited about feeling better. Which is interesting because if it was professionally, there's a lot of things I could say that I'm excited about, but personally, I'm just excited about healing and seeing what life looks like after this and what I learn from this and what I get from this. That's what I'm excited about.
Amazing.
And then words to share. I don't know. On anything?
Anything, any words of wisdom, anything. And also, you don't have to answer the question either.
Yeah. You know, I think there's a part of me that wants to say, I don't have anything to share because personally, like, that's not my job. You know,
Exactly.
professionally, I do that all the time. So in my head, I'm trying to think of what to say. And I'm like, but that's all Dono, friend. But for me right now is like, nah, I'm good. I hope you enjoyed this. You know,
Yeah.
take care of yourselves, babes. I guess that's it. You
That's
know,
perfect. And
that's it.
that's why I framed at the beginning of asking Donovan, because
That's interesting. That was sneaky.
I knew Donovan would step up and be like, all right, step one, blah, blah, blah. Like get into it.
Nah, I'm good. I got a lot from
Beautiful.
this. I hope the people listening to this got a lot from this. Check this out. I will say this.
Yes.
There are a lot of tools for healing, and I think when we can open ourselves up to a lot of them and really understand like the power that different tools can have, things like nature, things like community, things like music, right? We give ourselves a better chance of getting through versus sticking to the one or two ways that society has told us we need to heal. And so whatever that is for you, like for me, it's music and water, being in water and music, those are my two favorite things. I would encourage you to build your toolkit for you, whatever that looks like. And that's from both me and Donna friend.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for that great wisdom that you've given me. That's great. And also everybody else. And, you know, I'd say even if you didn't answer that second part of the question, like you said, we've been talking for nearly 2 hours. I feel like there's a lot of points in this conversation where a person could be listening and they would say, oh shit, that's good. Stop, rewind 10 seconds because you have that sweet little feature on iPhones these days. We can do a 10 second jump to the back or 30 seconds forward. I feel like there's so many nuggets like that. So
Hope so.
from my heart, thank you so much. You're wonderful. I love you for being here and I love you for what you're doing.
Dude, I love you, brother. I'll come see you soon. I appreciate you having me here. Thanks. And it's congratulations on following through with something that you wanted to do. I think that's really cool.
Thank you.